Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What's up, and welcome back to Talking Nutrition. Today's episode 88, where we're joined by my good friend, fellow coach, Tara Nicole. Tara shares her story going from playing basketball at a high level to then stopping, gaining a bunch of weight, kind of struggling mentally, moving into more disordered kind of eating habits, and then especially, most importantly, how she overcame that. We had a great chat. We talked anything from that transition from athlete to where it kind of like went sideways, to fixing that, to newbie gains once she started lifting weights. She actually got into modeling as well. And ultimately how she became a nutrition coach, how she's now helping people on their fitness journey, being more flexible. We talk a little bit about tracking, you know, flexible dieting, those kind of things. Because as she always says, we want to be able to eat the pie, right? We want to have some. And I think her story is great to hear for you, because as nutrition coaches, I feel like people sometimes expect us to have our shit together. But as you might know from my journey, we all go through our own things. And pretty often, it's the reason why we are so passionate about helping others achieve their goals. Because let's be honest, by now you should know that it's not about the macros. It's not about the special meal plan, whatever it is. It's about working through the things that we deal with as a human being and overcoming those struggles. And that's why I wanted to invite her, so she could share her story with you, so that you can kind of see, hey, like what kind of stuff we deal with, how we overcome that, hopefully inspiring you to do the same thing with whatever you currently struggle with. If you want to follow Tara, check out her Instagram at train with T, so that's T-E-E. And of course, if you love this episode, make sure to give us a quick 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple. And now, without further ado, let's get into the episode. What's up, T? How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. So today we are joined by one of my favorite Instagram friends, I guess. We've never met before, but you're definitely like one of my favorite people to stay in touch with. I remember when you kind of helped me out with like that, the first challenge that I ever did, you know, you definitely saved my ass. So. Thanks for joining.
Well, one, thanks for having me on. I'm sad that we still haven't met yet, but I got close when I was in Europe a couple weeks ago, but we'll make not it quite.
Next year.
Yeah, one day. But yeah, I'm Tara Nicole. I go by T. I am an online fitness and nutrition coach. I've been coaching online remote 100% for the last 3 years. Prior to that, I owned a gym in San Diego, California. It was a small training facility focusing on group fitness classes and then one-on-one personal training. Prior to that, I was a college athlete, played basketball, and somehow like led me here.
That being said, do you ever miss having a gym?
Oh, I miss it every day. Single day I miss it. Because even like once I sold the gym, I moved from California to Texas. And initially I had like a garage gym at home at the house that I was living in. So that was like the happy medium downsize from having a gym. And it's just awesome because it's so convenient. Even when it comes to like filming workouts and stuff, like you don't really have to worry about, you know, getting in the way of other people at the gym. You just set your camera up, do your thing. And it doesn't feel like kind of cringy to be filming in the gym all the time. And just like the ease of access, like I can literally take 10 steps and I'm in the gym and I'm working out. Whereas now it's not the case. I go to a commercial gym. And it's just not almost every single time I work out, I'm just like, something happens in the gym to where I'm like, damn, I miss having a gym. It's definitely good. It's tough though with like the accountability side of things. Like sometimes it is nice to be around energy. I've met a lot of, you know, friends at my gym that I go to now. So that part is cool. But I think overall, I still just miss having the option to at least be able to like get in a quick workout at home. So maybe one day in the future, I'll go back to the home gym life.
I'd like in the future, I definitely want to have a home gym. I feel like I might still like keep like a gym membership, you know, like to actually see people.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially just right like now, being remote. You're at home all day anyway. So like, all right, let me get like a change of scenery, get out of the house. But again, for convenience wise, like you can't beat just having something in your garage or a room in your house to just be able to knock out something quick. So we'll get back to it, hopefully.
For sure. Hopefully. Awesome. So with your story, right, I think it's cool to start like at the very beginning because you kind of grew up actually being super active and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. So both my parents played sports, like not like professionally or anything, but just like growing up being active. And then so they put me in literally every single sport just to see if I like sports, to see what I would be good at. And that just kind of led to basketball. Like I think I like the team aspect of it. You're not alone doing it. And then I was kind of good. So that helps too, like when you're good at something. So yeah, started playing basketball. And then, you know, high school, realized like, okay, like if I want to go to college, like I don't know how it is there, but like in the States, it's like, you know, you can get scholarships, things like that. My parents couldn't really pay for me to go to a school that I actually wanted to go to. So it was just like, all right, I need to go all in on this basketball thing so I can get a full scholarship and go to like a good college. And that's what I did. So it paid off. It was super tough. But yeah, I was just always super active as a child. And the diet part was never really there. Like my parents, I think they did a good job with the activity side of things. Like even as a family, we were always going out, like runs and like walks in the park, playing at the park, that sort of thing. But the diet is where things got kind of tricky. So I didn't have a good foundation when I got to college and started playing college sports. And back then we were training so much, it kind of didn't matter. Like I'm always curious now of like, would I have been a better athlete had my diet been better back then? But it's like, I guess I'll never know. But yeah, we were, you know, practicing for 2-3 hours just like on the court. And then we'd go lift and strength train and then have conditioning. So it's like, we're doing that 7 days a week. You can eat whatever you want. Like, it's always funny with like, oh, you can't outwork a bad diet. And it's like, you can. It's just tough to do it. And most people, you know, you don't have the schedule, you don't have the time to be able to work out that much. But for us playing college basketball, like that is our life. School comes second. like that's totally how it is in the States. Like you're there to do a job and that's to play basketball. So again, we were freaking crushing calories, just eating whatever we wanted because we were working out so much. So didn't have any sort of like base under me. We had a team nutritionist who came in, but like she was a joke. Basically just told us to like, you know, eat Chipotle, which like to an extent it's not bad, but yeah, no real structure when it came to my eating. And I definitely paid for that later on when I started my fitness journey.
So what that makes me think, right? Because obviously you mentioned like the basketball thing, like that's your job, right? In quotes at the moment. You're putting that over school, like you're doing that all the fucking time, like 7 times a week. Yes, you're definitely burning a bunch of calories. But what I'm wondering then is like, okay, so first of all, why is that person there then? You know, supposed to help you guys with nutrition.
Right.
Second, why is it shitty information and like not helpful, you know?
Yeah, I truly think back then it was mostly just lack of information and understanding. Right. Because it's like even, you know, if you think about going to the doctor, no offense and not trying to step on any toes, but more times than not, they're not going to give you the best advice nutritionally. It's just very generic stuff. Yeah. And that's essentially what our team nutritionist was doing. She wasn't really getting into like the ins and outs science of like why we should be eating certain things. It was just like, oh, this is what you should eat. And that's that. A lot of it, too, for us was them trying to put weight on us, because it's like basketball players, like you're usually tall and you're skinny, right? So she's like, okay, like, you know, there's more contact than people realize, especially at like a higher level with basketball. So they're trying to get us like bigger and like put on muscle. And so it's just like they don't know, you know, like this is just like a registered dietitian who doesn't really specialize working with athletes. I think they just kind of found her from somewhere and assumed that like it would carry over into what we were doing, and it didn't. So I think it just turns into a lack of education. And then like for us, like on the road, like our coach did a decent job of like, you know, when we have the meals catered by the hotel we're staying at, it was chicken, pasta, every single meal. like penne pasta, red or white sauce, chicken, broccoli. And that was like what they had catered to us based off like the hotel chain and what they could cook. So it's like, not to say that's unhealthy or anything, but again, that's only when we're on the road. When we're not on the road and we're left at the dining hall eating whatever we can eat, it was literally a buffet. We had like different stations of various cuisines. So it's just like, what do you want? Do we want Asian food tonight? Do we want Mexican food tonight? More times than not, we're eating pizza and cereal. And like, yeah, that's okay. Like, let's have a little bit of chicken. But other than that, like, it was a free for all, just doing whatever we wanted to, being 19, 20 year old college students.
I mean, especially at that age, like, of course you're doing that, you know? Of course. Like, I would be doing it too. Like, it's the best.
Right? You know? And it's like, it's again, great. You don't see yourself as like getting unhealthy because you're still so small, or at least that was the case for me. So I'm just like, I'm going to eat Flamin' Hot Cheetos before I go to practice. I'll be all right. Like, you just kind of adapt to it. And I know, like, okay, I can eat this and it's not going to make me puke at practice. So I'm going to continue eating it. And that's the only like thought process behind it.
Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode. You mentioned in the post that you put up, I could actually link that in the show notes as well. You mentioned that even with all that food, right, you just mentioned, right, hey, let's have pizza, Asian, like, you know, and the chicken broccoli meal is like pretty decent, you know, with pasta, but like Chipotle and just eating whatever, you still can put on weight, right?
Tiny. Like, it's wild thinking about me being like 20 pounds lighter. Like 120 pounds was where like my... people want to talk about like set points. I'm never more than like 125. Like, I was frail, not a flattering look, getting tossed around playing basketball, like girls bigger than me just like easily throwing me around. So yeah, I was really small.
So yeah, to your point earlier, if you think like, hey, like what could have been different if you would have taken care of your nutrition, like probably build more muscle, I guess, right? Like that would be like a big one, maybe.
Yeah, I would have been like eating like 4,000 calories a day, just like consistently, though, so I could actually put on weight. Because it's like, I think then with how much activity it was, my maintenance easily 2,800 calories, right? Yeah. So, and that's just like on a standard week, right? Because sometimes like preseason, we're doing 2-a-days. Right. So if you factor in that, maybe in the 3,000. So yeah, I'd have to eat, and it'd have to be consistent too. You know, I can't have those days where it's like one day I'm eating, you know, 3,000 calories and then the next day I'm at 2,400. You know, it would have had to have been a consistent 3,000 for it to actually pay off. That's tough, dude. Like, I don't, because I think they said like in an average basketball practice, you're running 5 miles. Like, that's what the average of like down and back and down and back, it's like 5 miles. So doing that every single day, like, that's a lot of volume. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think I would have been built for it to actually like have put on muscle, but maybe I could have just been overall stronger. Like, cause even like in the weight room, I was weak. I was so freaking weak. Like, we used to do deadlifts, power cleans and back squat. And I don't think I ever lifted more than like 110 pounds. Like, super, super weak.
What do you lift now, though? What do you squat now?
If I did a max back squat, I'm probably, I don't know, probably like 270. Yeah. Something around there.
It's a huge difference.
Oh, it's totally. I didn't even, like, when I got into bodybuilding after basketball, I'm just used to like, because we didn't even like count the weight on the bar. We did it based on like the color of the plates. You know what I mean? So we'd be like, oh, throw greens on the bar, throw blues on, throw greens and blues. And so when I started bodybuilding, you know, they're putting like 135 and I'm like, I don't even know how to count. I don't even know how to count the weights, which is crazy to say because I had been lifting for years. But it, again, like we weren't like, oh, let's go and put like 155 on the bar today and rep that out. It was just like, throw greens on. I didn't even know how much greens was. And then I find out it's only like 90 pounds. So yeah, I had to learn a lot.
Yeah. So what about in between, right? Because there was a point where you stopped playing basketball and kind of kept eating the same, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I went from like not being able to put on weight to just like overnight balloon because I wasn't playing anymore. So I stopped playing my junior year. So I had 2 years left of college. And at that point, like I lived in San Diego, you're at the beach. I was like, damn, I just want to be a normal student like everyone else because my first 2 years was totally different. So, you know, I drank a little bit when I was playing basketball, but man, the summer I stopped playing, I went crazy. Like I'm drinking, doing some other things that I shouldn't have been doing. And you just don't really think about it. Like for me, it was just like, I felt free because I didn't have to wake up at 6 a.m. to go to conditioning. I didn't have to do a full day worth of practice. So I was just having fun being sedentary for the first time in my life. And then, yeah, so all that drinking, they would talk about, you know, freshman 15, I gained that in like a single summer. And it was weird because I wasn't like I was just skinny fat and I had never been that way before. I was just like, damn, I'm definitely heavier. Like I could see it all over, see it in my face. My face got puffy, but I wasn't like fit still. And I didn't feel athletic. I wasn't playing basketball. I wasn't even working out at that time. Like literally went 0 to 100. So it was, yeah, I put weight on fast and I was like, okay, well, my body's not broken. I can gain weight. But at the time I didn't understand calorie balance. I knew nothing about that stuff. So I just saw it as like, oh shoot. Like it's like the alcohol. That's what they always say. When you go to college, you start drinking all the alcohol and that's why you gain weight. I just like associated weight gain with the alcohol and not thinking about like the calories. It was weird.
I mean, it's both, of course, but like that's what did it for me. That's how I got overweight, you know. I feel like, or at least that was a big part of it, is like I was always like the skinny kid, like not working out whatever, but like still I could eat whatever like I wanted. I was like the kid with the fast metabolism, you know. Mm-hmm. And I could eat whatever, just not gain weight. And then I started drinking, and like around that age, you know, like it was like 14-ish, and between then and my 18, like yeah, around there, like I started just kind of like gaining weight over the years. There, that's when I started. Yeah,
damn, that's crazy.
It was early smoking too. It's like smoking weed, but that kind of like slowed down already over the years. Then before I turned like 20, I think.
And then it's been
nothing since like I was 22, but like I feel like definitely around the time when I started drinking a bunch more, it really like the kilos just came on, you know. It happened so quick.
Yeah, it catches you off guard. Like you wake up one day, it's like, damn, I'm feeling kind of a little heavy.
A little puffy. So what was your turning point? Like where did you go, like I'm sick and tired of this shit, like gotta lose the weight. They want to get athletic again. Like, what did you do?
Yeah, it was a combination of me feeling like shit. Like, because I did go through an identity crisis. And at the time, you don't really understand that's what's happening to you, right? Because you're still so young. And I think, you know, now it's great that mental health is heavily talked about. But back then, people weren't really talking about your mental health and anxiety and all these things. And so I just remember I was like, dude, I don't feel normal. And like my baseline was just like an athlete, right? And I wasn't doing athletic things anymore. So it got to the point where I was like depressed without even realizing I was depressed. Because again, that's not really something people talked about. If anything, it was more so just me being like a buzzkill to other people, to where it's like I went from partying, hanging out, I had made new friends who, you know, weren't athletic. They weren't active. So they just saw it as like, oh, she's kind of weird now. Like she don't want to hang out. Like she's lame. And for me, it was just like, yeah, like, I think I'm depressed right now. Just, like, going through it, all I knew was basketball. My first 2 years of college, all my friends were my teammates. And so I was, like, isolated from them, and I didn't see them anymore. I went from, like, living with my teammates and seeing them all day, every day, to not, with a completely different group of people with completely different habits and, like, a different way of living in general. And so it was, like, I think it was fun initially. And then once that, like, it kind of wore off, I was just like, hold up, like, this isn't cool. So I got a summer job, and I met a bodybuilder. Her name is Ashley Horner. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but I met her at the park, and I had never seen anyone that ripped in real life, like, in my face before. So I literally just went up to her, and I was just like, damn, like, it was so awkward too, because, like, I didn't know what to say. Like, I know who she was. She just was just like this girl in the park at my job, and I was just like, what do you do? Like, why are you, you know, like, why are you all buff and stuff? Like, damn. Because, like, it's a difference between, like, athletic training and, like, being, you know, training for sport and training for aesthetics. And it was very clear to me that, like, damn, like, she just looks good like this, like, just do it. So I started following her on Instagram, and it just took off from there. So it was like that, like, I think I found her at the right time, because, again, I was struggling so much. I didn't really know what, like, I was supposed to be doing with myself, not playing basketball, but I also knew that the whole partying lifestyle wasn't really for me. And then I just think it's one of those things to where, not to say I have an obsessive personality or an addictive personality, but again, like, it was just like right place, right time. And it just so happened to be bodybuilding. So that's how I got into like fitness, like proper fitness, not like training for sport. So yeah.
So it's a good change though. I do like that. I think it's both great for aesthetics, for, you know, performance. Of course, I mean, right now, like, you do a whole bunch of running. It's all great. I do like that change though. Like, I went from, like, CrossFit to bodybuilding, and I really enjoyed that. I will say, like, I still do, like, bodybuilding type of training now, and it's good. Like, I really enjoy that more than anything right now, at least.
I didn't know you were into CrossFit.
That's what I used to do. So I was like, I overweight.
I used to do CrossFit too. I feel like everyone had a little stint with CrossFit. And then, yeah. My first coaching job was at a CrossFit gym.
Same.
So I think, you know, not shit on CrossFit, but it's like, it just feels very short-lived in the world of fitness. Like, if you're doing it, you either just started or you're on your way out, it feels like. Like, you're not going to be, it's just, I don't know. That's what I've seen consistently across the board. It's hard to sustain long-term.
I think it's grown a lot over the years. When did you do CrossFit?
That was like 2014 through, yeah, I'd say, like, I was heavy into it 2014 through like 2016, and then started to like taper away from it.
Yeah. So for me, it was around that time also. That's when I got into it. So I was at my heaviest in 2012, start losing weight in like a global gym, you know? And then finally this CrossFit gym opened nearby. Start going there. That's when I really started kind of getting into it. And I had that, you know, where that period you get super into it and you think, I'm going to go to the CrossFit games, you know?
Yeah. You doing all the CrossFit.
Like, everyone goes through that.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone goes through that. It's like, you get like super excited, you know? And then you're watching all the YouTube videos. But I just went I went on tour, and it became more and more and more. And at one point it was just gone for most of the year. So I'd be on tour or traveling. So like, I didn't do it as much anymore, kind of, you know, went out of it, just started doing normal training again. Then once I moved to Norway, I got back into it. But you're right. I feel like it's usually short lived for people. But then again, I will say a big part for me, I'm just going to speak for myself. The fact that it was short-lived was probably because I just like took away too far. Just generally speaking, like, it was still like it is in its early stages, you know, like it was super fucking random. And like, now there's definitely better programming. Like, I will say that, you know,
for sure. There's more like emphasis on mobility and correctives and accessory work and things like that too. So I definitely agree. It's come a long way, but I mean, it's just unfortunate. It wasn't like that when we first started.
No. So, okay, great. So then you started to get your newbie gains, right? Like you got pretty ripped in pretty short time. Like, I got
jacked, like fast. And that's like, that's where the problems really started, I guess, like mentally, because it turned unhealthy real fast for me. Like it went from like, all right, like, damn, like I'm jacked. I got all this muscle on me, to just taking it too far to where I wasn't fun. I wasn't normal. There was no balance. It was just like, eat like this all the time. Because that's all I knew, right? Like I started following a bodybuilder who competed in fitness shows, right? So her programs, so I was following her programs initially. That's what they were tailored to. Very standard meal plans, but like general meal plans. It wasn't personalized for me. It was just like, eat this much, you know, do this workout split type of thing. And I worked, but yeah, dude, it was, looking back on it, I cringe so hard. Like, you know how you see those, what are the reels where it's like a phase in your journey, I recommend you skipping or whatever, like something along those lines. That's how I feel. Like when I, so, and it's like, it's made me a better coach though. I can resonate more with clients because a lot of them come to me with that mindset that like, it has to be clean or nothing. Right. If they have a cheat meal, it's the end of the world type of thing. Or they're still of that mindset of like, oh, okay, let me sneak in like a cheat meal on Saturdays or whatever. And it ends up being a cheat day. So I really feel for clients like that because that was me. And I think it surprises people when I tell them that like, no, I used to feel the same way. And like, you know, you never want to make someone feel bad about something that they feel is healthy. So you have to, or at least for me, I've learned to kind of, you know, not all at once overwhelm them, but eventually get to the point of helping them understand that mindset is very unhealthy and it's unsustainable. You're not going to be able to adhere to that long term. And that's why they have this cycle of yo-yo dieting and it's back and forth type of thing to where they're actually not seeing results. I think the difference for me and why it worked is because I was used to just like that discipline mindset of just get it done. Because of my background with basketball and sports, because that's your only option. Like you hate it and you're struggling through it. But at the end of the day, you know that that's what needs to be done. And so I think that's the only reason why I had success with such a bland, restrictive diet for so long is because I had that mindset. But it took for, you know, having conversations with my family members at holidays for me to start to understand that like, okay, this isn't normal. And I need to kind of figure out a better balance for myself because I truly think that not to say that I would have continued on like that for years, but I know for a fact I would have continued on much longer than I did, eating that way because I genuinely did not see it as a problem. I just thought that like, this is what it takes. I have to meal prep every single day. I have to eat the same, you know, handful of foods all the time. Otherwise I'm going to lose my gains. Like I was not done with, I wasn't tired of it yet. Like it took some convincing, which again is what I see a lot from clients to understand that like I can eat more flexibly while still being fit and seeing those same results. It wasn't just like a, hey, this is how it is. You can eat better. You don't have to be this miserable all the time. I was kind of like, I don't know. That doesn't, you know, that because I had done that before, right? Like I'm coming from a background of eating a lot of foods, a lot of fun foods, junk foods, whatever you want to call it. And I was always skinny. I was never as fit as I was. So then all of a sudden I have people telling me like, hey, no, you can do it. And I think the problem too was that all of that advice was coming from people who weren't fit. So I'm just like, you guys don't understand. Like, I get that, like, you know, y'all don't see it as healthy, but you're also not as fit as me. So you couldn't possibly understand, like, what I'm, you know, my thought process with this because you're not in the same place. So it was a pretty fucked up roller coaster for me mentally to understand that, like, okay, I can change some things, but no, to still have that structure, it was tough.
Yeah. Because there was like no cheat days like whatsoever. You were just like just on that plan. Like, how did you do that with like family stuff or like?
Oh, I was like, I literally brought lunch boxes, like traveled with like a lunch box, and I had my own food like pre-weighed out in Tupperware. Even I'm talking like my dad knew it was an issue when I didn't want to eat his oatmeal. Right. Like I'm like, nah, dad, like I brought my own. He's like, it's the same oatmeal. And I'm like, nah, like I already have this one tracked out though. Cause I'm over here looking like, well, he has the Quaker brand and I have like this other random brand. You know what I mean? Like I'm over here, like there's different. And I literally had like plastic baggies of oats, like pre, and he's just like, nah, like it's not, not that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I cringe at myself now because I was truly that girl who like showed up to holidays with my own food. I wasn't eating anything else. Like, it looked good, and I was making myself miserable, like looking over at other people's plates. But I'm like, nah, I'm good. I got my stuff ready. I don't need any of that.
I think. In one way, right? Because I've heard the saying a lot, and it's mostly been in business things and in coaches, but also, you know, when it comes to nutrition. But you'll often hear the saying of, and I've said this before myself, right? Like, hey, like I've gone through this myself. I've already made all the mistakes in a book so that you don't have to do them, kind of, right? So I'll teach you how to not make those same mistakes. Do you feel like, because this is a thought I've been thinking about recently, do you feel like in a way to really learn you kind of have to fuck up sometimes for it to really kind of like click and be like, yo, this, I'm not supposed to be doing this?
1,000%, 1,000%. I think it's like with anything really, like you don't know what the other side looks like until you've experienced that pain and that struggle on your own, to where like that is what drives change, right? Because if you just blindly go into something, it's just like you have nothing to compare it to. But when it's like, you know what it looks like to be miserable at Thanksgiving, to be, you know, not going out with your friends or going to weddings and whatever else, whatever social activities you have, because you're so afraid that you can't eat anything outside of your diet, like you're not gonna know. And I honestly think you're not going to appreciate like that newfound understanding for it as much without having struggled through it before. So yeah, sometimes I think with clients, you kind of want them to kind of fall on their face a little bit. So they understand like you have nothing else to lose at this point. You might as well try it, because what you're doing right now isn't working for you. And if it was working for you, you wouldn't be here. 100%. So yeah, I definitely think that, yeah, sometimes you just gotta, especially the ones who are super resistant, like, okay. And I do it all the time of like, well, how's that working for you at this point? Yeah. You believe you got to cut out carbs nonstop. Why are you coming to me for coaching then? If you got to figure it out and you know that that's what works for you, it doesn't work for you. So yeah, definitely let them fail a little bit with your guidance, but they need experience.
Sometimes it does take that. Sometimes it's like, hey, you know what? Sure, let's try. Let's see what happens. If it does work, we're going to do it my way. And then usually it's like, well, you're right.
Exactly.
And that's okay. Exactly. You know, like as long as it sticks at the end of the day, like as long as you get to the point, great.
I think sometimes more like extreme it is, the better off you are. Like, especially like for me, like my dieting was super bad. And I needed something that extreme to show me like, all right, there's an easier way to go about this. So a lot of power in that.
So what was the point where you then realized like, hey, this is actually going too far? Like, how did you, because that must have been also a tricky change kind of going from that to where you're at right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was just a little bit of blind faith of like, all right, it got to the point where I wasn't having that college experience anymore. I wasn't hanging out with friends. I was just like living in the gym. And like, yeah, it was cool to look better, to feel better about myself. People, you know, I had never really gotten compliments on my body before. So it's like people notice, especially if they knew you before, right? Because it blew my mind, or blew my teammates' minds when they first saw me after, like, you know, because it felt like, it kind of did feel like overnight change. Because I isolated myself and I was just working out all the time just to, cause like I said, I felt like kind of depressed. And so all of a sudden I just started like hanging out with people again. And I remember people like, damn, like, how your legs are so big? Like, what? You know, so, but then also realizing like, damn, I miss my friends. Like, I miss like hanging out with people. So you just kind of get to the point of like, maybe I can like find a better balance to where I can still go out sometimes. Maybe I'm not always drinking with everybody, but I'll take like a drink, you know. It was back when like those like seltzers had just started coming out. So it was like, okay, like I found like a little low calorie option to where I could still, you know, feel like I'm being social while also like still sticking to like my diet and my own goals. So I think that was just the turning point of just feeling like, all right, like this isn't that fun anymore. Basically, like I like the gains, but I don't like what it's doing to my social life. So I have to figure out something.
So what do you do now?
Now, you know, I live my best life. I'm a big, like, it's probably, you know, everyone says it, the 80-20, but I live by it. Honestly, I genuinely believe that it works. So I have my step goals that I established for myself. I have a set amount of workouts. This is the least amount that I've worked out in the last like 10 years. I only lift 3 days a week. A lot of that is with dumbbells. Like, it's still heavy, like relatively so, but I don't do a ton of barbell stuff anymore. And then I run a lot. I'm in the runner girl era. I drank the Kool-Aid, so I went from like the CrossFit and all that to running. But I genuinely like the reaping the mental benefits of running. And it's just a nice way for me to kind of like stay feeling like that athleticism, right? To where like it's like, you know, a little bit of my background, my roots, like feeling athletic, like, oh, I could just go out for a 3 mile run and I'm not dying. But then like aesthetically, I think it also helps me out too, because I'm able to have a higher base with my calories. So, which means that I can enjoy more food. So like that 20%, it's a lot bigger. Like, it gets me much further, right? To where I don't have to be as strict about like, oh, like, am I going to have like the wine tonight or the popcorn? A lot of the time I can fit in both. Tracking food wise, I track maybe once a week just because I want to see where I'm at with the foods that I chose for that week to make sure I'm hitting, you know, adequate protein, that sort of thing. But on a daily basis, I'm not tracking my food. A lot of it is intuitive at this point. I've been doing this for so long. I know what, you know, how much I should be eating. I will like weigh out like my protein. So again, like making sure it's like, okay, this is 6 ounces, but I'm not actually like logging it into an app. And that's just what works for me. That's like my winning formula of making sure that I'm focusing on something, you know, nutritionally with the protein. I'm getting steps in, and then I'm lifting a few times a week. And that's been working for me for the last 2 years. And I think it's the most sustainable for me, like long term. So I'm just going to keep going with that.
Nice. I think it's also important for people to know to be able to do that stuff, right? You can have that 20%. And with the tracking, I mean, you've tracked so much that you can do it. Mm-hmm. Let's call it intuitively, right? But I feel like there's so much stuff these days online with like the, anything processed is going to kill you. You've seen those videos, right? It's like the dude standing in the supermarket and in front of the aisle, you know, it's like, fucking cringy, but it's like, you can't eat anything anymore these days. But it's like, no, you can, you absolutely can. And you can be totally fine. And I'd much rather see someone have that 20% consistently and not have the guilt because they want to have a drink or stress around a fucking cookie or something, you know, like then doing good in quotes and consistently eating like 99% whole foods, which they're healthy for you, right? But there's, you can take it too far. I mean, like you did, so.
Yeah, way too far. So yeah, I just think more people just need to figure out something that works for them, but then actually stick with it. Right, because so many people like will just bounce and bounce and bounce between different diets and whatever else based on what they're seeing on social media, or they get spooked into believing that they can't eat certain foods because you got the guy in the grocery store picking up random products saying how terrible it is for you. I genuinely think more people should just stick with something long enough to give themselves the opportunity to see some sort of change. And then from there, they can make decisions on, like, is this something sustainable that I want to continue doing?
Love that. Hey, T, I also want to be respectful of your time, and I do actually have to run myself pretty soon. So first of all, thanks for coming on. Let's do this again, by the way. I think this was awesome. I think... Of course. I think the running stuff especially is cool to dive into, because I think when it comes to cardio, it's super important. I'm definitely guilty, like I'm going to say this, right? Because I'm guilty of probably mentioning the downsides when it comes to like when people do it for fat loss, you know?
A little too much.
Which, of course, we can talk about it then, but like, but there's a lot of benefits to that shit. I mean, you should be doing your cardio, you know what I mean? And I think that's definitely something too where in the space, you see it kind of go from one extreme to the next, and it's like, you know, just weights, and then it's like just cardio. And I feel like now people are kind of like noticing, like, no, you should be doing cardio, you know?
Yeah, it's like that, just that weights. Hybrid kind of mentality is, I think, getting really popular to where people are prioritizing both, which is awesome to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely down to go into that because I have lots of thoughts on it. Because even with me running, I don't want to look like a runner. No offense to anyone who runs, but like they're not built. They're usually like, you know, very skinny built. I don't want that. So I'm still trying to like have my cake and eat it too aesthetically when it comes to like, I'll do the running, but you know, I'm making sure I'm eating enough and I'm still lifting weight so I can still, you know, look muscular and not just be 100%. Like a little runner out there.
So where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram, train with T, T-E-E. That's really it. I try the TikTok stuff, but we're rocking with Instagram. So train with T on IG. Appreciate the follow.
Awesome. So I'll make sure to link that in the show notes as well. T, thanks for coming on again. And to our listener, if you loved this episode, feel free to share it in your stories. Drop us a quick rating and or review on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to us. And then we'll talk to you soon. All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd love to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS, and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.